I wonder if the children would like to come and sit a bit nearer the front. That would be great. I'm just going to wander around a bit, just talk amongst yourselves. Wow, look at this food. Fantastic. Okay, this morning we're talking about the heart, this amazing memory verse that the children shared with us earlier. And in preparing for this, I was trying to understand why is it that the heart, our hearts, are so important to God. Why is it that God is more interested in the state of my heart than the fact that I'm wearing my nice new stripy Ted Baker shirt this morning? Thank you. That lovely verse, "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him," or his shirt. The Lord does not look at the things that man looks at. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So today we're going to look at the heart and why it matters to God so much. And I'm going to need you to use your imagination this morning. When the Bible talks about the heart, it's not talking about this organ inside us that pumps the blood around our bodies, this thing that goes boom, 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 whatever it kind of does. It's talking about this area inside me that, if you like, is where the decisions are made, the daily decisions of how I'm going to behave, of what I'm going to do, where my will is, and the place from which my words and my actions flow. The heart is like the throne of my life, surrounded by my treasures, all the things that matter to me, the stuff I've acquired over the years, the things, the status, the wealth of my life. So I just want to imagine that this chair is the throne of my life, my heart. Let's move over here a bit so you can see a bit better. I'll try not to move too far from my notes. And this is my heart, if you like, before I encountered Jesus. And around me are the things that are important to me, the things that matter, the things that affect the way I behave. And here I am, King Bob, ruling over the kingdom of Bob, thinking that here I am in charge of my wonderful little kingdom with all its riches and all its kind of wealth, but actually perhaps not aware that although I think I'm ruling and reigning over this kingdom, in fact, my kingdom is subject to another kingdom, a kingdom of darkness, a kingdom of oppression, really. And see, here I am in my kingdom, on my throne, but my royal robes are not pleasant, they're not nice, they actually smell rather unpleasant, a mixture of tomato ketchup and red wine, which isn't a nice smell to be wearing, I have to say. It's tatty, it's ripped, it's, you know, it's not the sort of robes that you would normally expect a king to wear. And this kingdom is not a happy place to be. It's a miserable place, because the kind of the kingdom I am ruled by is not a happy kingdom to be under. And some of the things that I think matter to me, these things that surround this throne, they are important. Things in my little treasure box here. I mean, there's lots of rubbish here, but there's some important things. There's my lovely family. Okay, so it's not all completely sort of awful and bad. There's some good stuff there, but there's an awful lot of junk and rubbish and clutter and clobber. The kingdom of Bob, with King Bob in charge, is a sad place, an empty place, a lonely place. It isn't a place of freedom, but of slavery. It isn't a place of richness and wealth that should really be the domain of a king, the home of a king, but it's a place of poverty and ruin. King Bob is sad, lost, lonely, poor, and a rather foolish king. But then one day there's a knock at the door. An incredibly important person is standing at the door. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're going to need to stretch your imagination a little bit here. He has come to offer me the deal of a lifetime, the deal of an eternal lifetime. He bears the scars of the huge, huge price he has paid to enable me to be rescued from this miserable kingdom of darkness into a kingdom of life, of light, of truth, of holiness, and of beauty. He has come to pay every debt this wretched king in his miserable kingdom owes, and there are many. Debts that this king could not pay if he had a million years to pay, because the debt is one of sin and of fallenness, a debt that will never be repaid, left to himself. And to receive this offer, to receive this incredible gift of life and light, and to be part of this wonderful thing that this King of Kings, comes to offer, I need to do one simple thing. I need to make him my king and give him my throne. The thing is, I was never really meant to sit on that throne. It was never my throne to begin with. This throne has always rightfully belonged to this king who now stands at the door, knocking and waiting for my response. The trouble is that this dark, smelly, unpleasant place is really no place for a king. Imagine if Her Royal Highness, Queen Elizabeth II, paid you a surprise visit and was there standing at your front door, waiting to come in, but you're just not ready. You didn't know the Queen was coming to visit you this morning, and the floor hasn't been hoovered for a few days. The kitchen's in a bit of a state, and your bedroom looks like a bomb has hit it. What a terrible dilemma. Her Royal Majesty the Queen standing at your door. But this King Jesus, is different. He hasn't come expecting to find this all sorted out and beautiful and lovely, a place fit for a king. He has come to help me to make it a place fit for a king. And so I invite Jesus in and I give him my crown. Come on in, Jesus. And Jesus takes off my smelly, disgusting, horrible rags, throws them away, and gives me a beautiful new garment to wear to show that I now belong to this wonderful king. Thank you. Wow. And he helps me to clear up this terrible, terrible mess around the throne. Goodness me, what a state. And he brings with him the wonderful aroma of heaven. He gives me a new treasure to store away in my heart. Wow, thank you. The Word of God. God, let's get rid of all that stuff. And Jesus comes and takes his place on the throne, and I sit at his feet. Joy, bliss, it's all changed. It's all different because Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of life, is now ruling and reigning. And this place that was once so dark and smelly and dirty and poor and squalid is changed because the Lord of life and of light and truth has taken up residence in his rightful place on the throne of my life. And I begin to enjoy living life under his authority, because the king is on the throne. I'm enjoying living under his authority. And this is the authority of someone who is good, who loves me, who paid the ultimate price that I might know him and that he might save me. I invited Jesus to become king of my life back in November 1976. That's quite a long time ago. And by his grace, he did. But last night, as I was preparing this talk, I had to stop and wonder, Lord Jesus, I've received you as king, but I wonder, Lord, to what extent are you truly on the throne of my life? We heard a bit this morning about King Solomon, who wrote the Proverbs with the as God breathed these wonderful words by the Holy Spirit into his heart. And one of, I think, the wisest things this king, who was the wisest of kings ever, wrote is in Proverbs 4, verse 23. It says this: "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." And I'm wondering, what am I, this is my heart, this is my king, what am I guarding this heart from? I guess to a certain extent I'm guarding it from the enemy, from the devil, from that liar and thief who would in some ways love to be on that throne, but that belongs to Jesus. The truth though is that the enemy doesn't mind who sits on that throne as long as it isn't Jesus. That's really what he's concerned about. And in fact what strikes me is as I read that verse, is that if my heart is to truly belong to Jesus, if he is to occupy the throne of my life, then the person I most need to guard my heart from is me. The thing is, there's only one throne in my life, and it's great when Jesus takes up residence on that throne. Life is sweet. Life is good and rich and beautiful. The danger is that as time goes by, I begin to want to share the throne with Jesus. Lord Jesus, you can perhaps, if you don't mind, rule my life on a Sunday. Is that okay? If you don't mind if I rule my life on Saturday, because it's my day off. So, you know, is that okay? And of course, Monday to Friday, I need to work. So, you know, really, I need to be in charge then, if you don't mind. And over a period of time, what happens is that gradually, it's as if I begin to take back the throne of my life once again. What a travesty. What an awful thing, because what I've done is I've taken the one who wears the crown, who should sit upon the throne, and again, I've taken his place. What I need to remember again and again and again is that the one who wears the crown needs to take the throne. So why is God concerned about the state of my heart? Because the truth is that my heart is his rightful dwelling place within, the throne of my life, and he, and not me, is the rightful king. And if we want to live fruitfully in the kingdom, if I want to live fruitfully for him, then I've got to make sure he stays on the throne and I stay off it and stay at his feet. And if I want the blessing of his kingship, that's the way I need for it to stay. The throne belongs to the one who wears the crown, and that's Jesus. And I guess one of the key reasons I need the Holy Spirit is that he can help me. And I think this is one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit in my life, to help me to stay off that throne and keep Jesus on it. And I know that as we're praying, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. And I think in some ways, being full of the Holy Spirit can only really happen when Jesus is fully and allowed to remain on that throne. I know for me, this is a daily, daily, daily thing, that every day I need to check who is sitting on the throne of my life. Is it me, or is it Jesus? Or sometimes maybe there's stuff on that throne that shouldn't be there, things taking priority in my life that shouldn't be. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we want to ask you this morning, Lord, would you come as you are amongst your people? And Lord, I know for me that means you have to come as king. You come as the one bearing the crown. And that means you need to take the throne of my life. And Lord, I ask you this morning, would you help me? Lord, I don't know about anybody else here this morning, Lord, I know I need you on that throne, and I'm really, really sorry for the times when I try and move you off it, Lord, or I put other things on that throne, Lord. It belongs to the one who paid the price for me. The one who wears the crown needs to take the throne. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, that was really good, wasn't it? Did you understand that? Fantastic, fantastic. Onmin's going to, we're going to sing one more song, and we're going to start with...